Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your host, Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest in nerdy news and discuss the latest hot topics. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. So you motherfuckers have been warned. What up, my motherfucking nerdy beeps? What's going down, everybody? Hope everybody's had a good week, because you know the nerdy boys have. Christian?
Yes?
Christian?
Yes?
Are you there, Christian?
I'm here.
All right.
Present.
How you doing? Can you raise your hand?
Here.
All right.
Here.
Good job,
okay.
Monkey.
Brilliant.
What up, guys? What up, man?
What's up? We walked around in the freezing cold last night.
Yeah.
In Midtown and
yeah.
stuff.
That happened.
That was a thing. And then we argued about Star Wars for an hour. So, you know, you guys missed out on that conversation, but...
Yeah, sucks for you fuckers.
Yeah, but we're not here today to talk about yesterday. We're here today to talk about news.
Duh.
Of the nerdy variety.
What?
So, did you have anything, you know, besides news to talk about, or should we just get into some news?
I don't know. Do I have anything new that's happening in my life?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's hard to think about life, guys, when you're just tired sometimes, you know? Life is exhausting, especially
right.
when, you know, you're out so late on accident. We meant to be home a little bit earlier, but, you know, Star Wars. And then, you know, like... Then we got home, and it was like, I didn't go to bed till like 2 a.m. I don't know what time you went to bed.
I went to bed like right away.
Yeah, so about 1, you know, I used the restroom and, you know, looked at my phone for a little bit. So I was up a little later, and then we woke up really early to watch Manchester United lose. That was very unfortunate. But, you know, Star Wars this Thursday, guys, that's a thing. We'll be talking about that.
What? Hell yeah, motherfucker.
The Last Jedi, yeah. But, you know, we're on little sleep, so we're pretty tired. But we're going to keep the energy up for you guys. We're going to keep the energy levels high. Are you with me, brother?
I'm with you, brother.
Okay.
But, yeah, like Christian said, Star Wars next week. That means there'll be a film review Friday for it. Mm-hmm. And maybe even a double feature Friday. You like what I did there? Double feature Friday. Because, you know, that's movie lingo. And we do film review Friday. Just in case you guys didn't catch that.
Your feature film review Friday.
What? Feature film?
Because,
you
yeah.
double feature?
Because they say, you know, your feature, like, it's a feature film, so,
uh-huh.
you know, so, like, yeah, it's puns and stuff, okay, guys? All right.
Well, yeah, but, so, lately we've been doing, you know, we've been working our way through Harry Potter. We've done Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. If you guys are interested in listening to those podcasts, make sure you guys go check us out. We're on iTunes, podbean.com, Stitcher, Google Music Play Store, Libsyn, all kinds of different places. Make sure you guys go check that out, you know. We're not gonna revisit a Force Awakens just yet, even though the next movie comes out. I don't know. Yeah, let's get in the news.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studios. Christian, back to you.
All right. Speed round of news. Into the Spider-Verse is going to, you know, be an animated Spider-Man movie coming out in next year. The trailer came out.
I didn't watch it.
That's all right. You didn't have to watch it. You know, it's interesting because we got this news, you know, there's going to be a Miles Morales animated Spider-Man movie, but it's a little more than Miles Morales. This is like tackling the whole Spider-Verse, you know, and we get at the end, he says, how many of us are there, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, check that out, guys. Very interesting. We also got a season 2 trailer for Jessica Jones. I didn't watch that, but I saw that the release date was March 8th of 2018.
I can't wait, because the first Jessica Jones season was excellent. If you guys haven't watched it, go to Netflix and watch it. We're not sponsored to tell you this, but do it anyways.
Yeah, so that's in 3 months from now, so stay tuned for that. Krypton got a new teaser trailer.
Really? I can't wait to watch it then.
Yeah, I haven't watched
it.
But these are all things we're telling you for you guys to go check out, okay? Dark Phoenix, you know, that's a movie coming out next year. Got some photos released, some of the first photos. I posted one on our Instagram like a couple of days ago. So
yeah, so make sure you guys are following us on our Instagram and our Twitter and our Facebook and on Snapchat. And make sure you guys go visit our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com.
Yeah, do that. Warner Brothers box office tops $5 billion worldwide.
What?
If you guys don't know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, if you listen to our podcast, Disney topped $5 billion worldwide, and then we were
yeah, they're just lacking a little bit behind.
But not that much behind. They're still pretty hefty competition at this point for them, which is surprising because DC's comic book movies.
But I wonder, like, how many more, like, films that...
Yeah, they do a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's a broad statement. Warner Brothers box office tops $5 billion worldwide. Okay, but how many other films outside of, you know, that genre do they produce?
Right.
Every year.
A lot. Ryan Reynolds also has been cast as Detective Pikachu for the Detective Pikachu movie. They'll be motion capturing him, and I'm sure he'll do the voice, but all he says is Pikachu, right?
Pika Pika.
I don't know anything about Detective Pikachu. It's not like regular Pikachu. It's a different Pikachu.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that advanced in the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
I stayed with Gen 1 and a little bit of Gen 2, and that's about it.
That's same for me. Sophie Turner confirms Game of Thrones Season 8 will not air until 2019.
This is stuff we already knew, so
yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's speculation, you know, about other things. But yeah, anyway, that ends our speed round. First bit of real news. Alex Proyas speaks out against the Crow remake. After spending a decade in development at Relativity, the new Crow movie recently landed at Sony Pictures with director Coren Hardy from The Hollow and The Nun and Aquaman star Jason Momoa in tow. Now, Alex Proyas, who did Dark City and Gods of Egypt, the outspoken director of the original 1994 movie, has taken to his Facebook page to leave a heartfelt message as to why he thinks the Crow remake shouldn't happen. The film's star, Brandon Lee, was accidentally killed on the set of the film after a stage firearm wasn't properly prepared, causing the actor's death at the age of 28 and on the cusp of stardom. Proyas finished the remaining scenes with the aid of body doubles and CGI, with the finished film becoming a hit with $50 million in box office and a rabid following. So this is what he posted on his Facebook. He said, why I think The Crow should not be remade. He said, I was privileged to know Brandon Lee. He was a young, immensely gifted actor with a great sense of humor and a bright future ahead of him. I was also privileged to have been able to call him a friend. Our working relationship as actor-director went beyond mere collaboration. We crafted a movie together, which has touched many people. Gay. No, I'm just kidding. He said, I did not take a film by credit on The Crow. I wanted it to be Brandon's movie because it was, and because he would not be able to make any more movies. He brought all of his passion to the movie, and it has lasted as his legacy. It is a film I know he would have been proud of. I finished the film for Brandon, struggling through grief, along with the hugely supportive cast and crew who all love Brandon. To complete it, in his absence, we were imbued with the strength of Brandon's spirit and his inspiration, not only Brandon's wonderful work as an actor and a filmmaker, but as a man whose humanity had touched us. The Crow would not be a movie worth remaking if it wasn't for Brandon Lee. If it wasn't for Brandon, you may never have even heard of the poignant little underground comic. It is Brandon's movie. I believe it is a special case where Hollywood should just let it remain a testament to a man's immense talent and ultimate sacrifice, and not have others rewrite that story and or add to it. I know sequels were made and TV shows have others rewrite that story or add to whatever have been made, and what have you but the notion of rebooting this story and the original character, a character Brandon gave life to at high at too high a cost. Seems wrong to me. Please let this remain Brandon's film. The development of the Crow movie has had a troubled history with frequent stalls in the pre-production cycle and multiple lead actor dropouts, including Bradley Cooper, Luke Evans, Tom Hiddleston, and Jack Houston. Series creator James O'Barr previously spoke about the film, saying it would stick closer to the source material in many regards, including using the same songs referenced in the pages of the original comic. How much has changed in the development process since that remains to be seen. The Crow was originally published as a four-issue miniseries in 1989. Alex Poyez directed the 1994 film, which we already talked about, starred Brandon Lee, and yeah, anyway. What do you think?
It's definitely a difficult one, right? The movie has a huge legacy, and I think going near it, you're taking a big risk first off, because if it flops, then you definitely disgrace the memory of Brandon Lee.
Right. I mean, it's money,
a difficult one, right?
That's, yeah, that's where the studio is coming from. It's money.
It's a difficult one. It's a difficult thing, unless if, you know, Brandon Lee's family owned the rights to that, you know, much like, you know, the Tolkien estate.
Right.
And how that all that works and why we've never gotten films past Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. You know, but it's not that way, obviously. So the studios have every right to make it, but they also have the duty to carry out Brandon Lee's memory and make sure it is the best possible version of a film that it could ever be, right?
Right. Or even just rename the character, maybe. Like, do like the same, or like you're closer to the comic book story with a different, like, not Eric Draven, just a different character, because Brandon Lee is Eric Draven, you know, and that's like the memory you should honor. That's, you know, there can be other Crows. It doesn't have to be Brandon, or it doesn't have to be Eric Draven.
Right, and they could. That's a good idea, right? Because they could make a new Crow, and then, you know, they could even talk about the legacy of the original Crow of Eric Draven in the movie, almost like a homage. You know what I mean? So like that would be a great idea, and I think that would be the perfect way to go with it. And it's a little bit of less risk for the studios in that sense. But I do agree with the director in a sense. It's like, dude, like if they do botch the movie, it is a huge disgrace to him. You know.
Right. Even if they don't botch it, do you think it's dishonoring him by, you know, remaking
using his name? Yeah. Using the character Eric Draven, absolutely. I say if, like, you know, like a little bit of like the history is, like, you know, it's oftentimes there's actors that go through like a process of getting into character, right? And some go to extreme lengths. Brandon Lee was one of those people. Heath Ledger was another one of those people. You know, obviously, you know, different circumstances of how they died, but they like immortalized those roles.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I pretty much agree. I love The Crow and I love the comics and I like, you know, I don't like any of the other movies aside from the actual Crow, the 1994 Crow. I don't like any of the sequels or anything like that. But, I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's like Eric Draven, Brandon Lee is Eric Draven, and, you know, Jason Momoa is phenomenal, and I'd love to see him as a Crow, but not that Crow. So
what happens then? Would you be willing to, you know, not watch the movie? Would you go that far? I mean, where do your beliefs bring you on a subject like that? You know, because I feel like you're pretty passionate about them not using the character. But what if they do choose to use the character? Do you just shrug it off and be like, oh, well, you know, or that? Or do you not watch the movie? Do you just, you know, be angry about it, or, you know?
Well, to me, this is the same thing as, like, a lot of the Fox superhero films. It's like, you want, if that happens, you want it to not make money so that they don't keep making them, you know?
Right.
But it's always going to make money, whether I see it or not, or whether I take a stand and protest it or not, there won't be enough people that do that. Like, there will be thousands and thousands of people that will go see this movie. And, yeah. and that's why they're going to make it, is because they know it'll make money. So, you know, I might see it just to give it a chance because, you know, just saying I'm not going to see it on principle, I don't know. I don't like, like, ideologies like that where it's just, like, you refuse to do things on principle. Like, I think that leads down dangerous paths a lot of times, you know?
Right.
So I wouldn't not see it on principle. I'd probably still see it no matter what because I love The Crow, but hopefully if it does disrespect Brandon Lee in some way, it doesn't color my response to the film, which it probably will. So, right. You know, you got to try to be objective sometimes as well.
All right. So moving on, Quentin Tarantino has an idea for a Star Trek movie, and J.J. Abrams is assembling a writer room. Director Quentin Tarantino from Pulp Fiction and The Hateful Eight has an idea for a new Star Trek movie, and J.J. Abrams, who did Star Trek Beyond and Star Wars The Force Awakens, is putting together a writer's room for the project, according to Deadline. Sources say that Tarantino told his idea to Abrams, and writers will be gathered to work on the idea if it comes to fruition. Tarantino could direct with Abrams producing at Paramount Studios. There is currently no confirmation to Star Trek movie idea from Paramount or from Tarantino at this time. Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek to be rated R. It's recently reported that director Quentin Tarantino from Pulp Fiction, as they're putting together the writing room, they want it to be rated R. The rating was a sticking point in order for Tarantino to sign on as a director. All of his films have been carried this rating, and Paramount agrees to those terms. While big budget R-rated studio films were in the norm in the 80s and 90s, Terminator 2, Rambo 3, True Lies, The Matrix, the practice died down in the 2000s, with many previously violent and profanity-laden franchises downgraded to PG-13, such as Die Hard, Terminator, and etc. The expensive R-rated film has only come back into the vogue in recent years, and tent poles like Mad Max Fury Road, Logan, Deadpool, and Blade Runner 2049. A-list screenwriters gathered together by Abrams to pitch their idea on Tarantino's story includes Mark L. Smith from Revenant and The Hole, Lindsay Beer from the upcoming Chaos Walking and Godzilla vs. Kong, and Drew Pearce from Iron Man 3, Sherlock Holmes 3, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Smith is reportedly a frontrunner to get the gig, which would be significant as the first person to co-write a screenplay for Tarantino-directed film since Roger Avery co-wrote Pulp Fiction. It is also unknown if the new Trek adventure will involve the current cast or even take place in the same alternative timeline to the original William Shatner-led series. Writers J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay were originally pegged to draft a Star Wars 4. Star Trek 4 that involved Chris Hemsworth's return as Kirk's father, George. But that appears to be in limbo at this time. Yeah. I think I just have Star Wars on the brain because, you know, we just talked about it last night. And, you know, J.J. Abrams and then, you know, Star Wars this week. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. So the first one is like, sounds like they didn't really have any information, but now it sounds like they might.
All right. So let's clear this up. J.J. Abrams, Quentin Tarantino, and then, you know, the writers, the potential writers that we listed off, they're going to go and pitch this idea, and we'll see what happens.
Paramount has agreed to an R rating if something happens.
Exactly, but they have to pitch the right idea. You know, nothing's written, no stars are cast. They probably don't even have the actual concept. They just know they want to make something with it. They want to make it R-rated.
Yeah, I didn't see the the article when I was pulling news for today, but I saw during the week after this was announced that Patrick Stewart said if Quentin Tarantino is directing, he'd want to come back as Jean-Luc Picard. You know, ooh, we don't know if they're going to do something like The Next Generation or do a crossover with the original series again, like they've done in other Star Trek films, but we'll see what happens. Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow to rotate episodes January through June. Following the holiday break, Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow will rotate, blah, 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 on the Monday at 8 p.m. time slot on the CW, offering fans 23 consecutive weeks of original episodes. As previously announced, Supergirl will return from its midseason break Monday, January 15th, 8 o'clock, for a four-week run of original episodes. Starting on Monday, February 12th, Legends of Tomorrow will move into the 8 p.m. time period for 9 weeks until its third season finale on April 19th. After Legends completes its run, Supergirl will come back with brand new episodes starting Monday, April 16th, 8 o'clock, until the season finale on June 18th.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
That's a little weird, you know, to do that. Just like rotate their time slots, but I
think it's fine though. I think it just has to do with the break, and they want to almost kind of extend almost into a year-round format, maybe.
Yeah.
Keep something on the air at all times.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is a little unusual, but it's because CW is doing so many shows now, I think. So within Black Lightning, I think it's taking Legend's spot. So.
Right.
in other DC news. Warner Brothers is planning to restructure DC's film division. Did that surprise you?
Nope.
Okay, let's see why. Following the box office disappointment of their latest feature, Justice League, Variety reports that Warner Brothers is in the process of shifting and restructuring their DC Films division. The outlet reveals that current head of DC Films, John Berg, will be shifted to a different position in the studio, working as a production partner alongside IT producer Roy Lee.
Or maybe he'll just be the janitor.
Or maybe. Who knows? Warner Brothers Pictures Group President Toby Emmerich told Variety, "This is something that John approached me about 6 months ago, and he expressed his goal was to ultimately be a producer at the studio. I first met John when, as a producer, he brought Elf to the New Line, which remains one of the best and most evergreen titles in the library. We're thrilled that John is partnering with Roy and anticipate their company being a valuable source of movies for Warner Brothers and New Line. A replacement for Berg is in the works, and that person will continue to work alongside DC CCO Jeff Johns." The outlet also reports that Warner Brothers is considering moving their DC films under their main production arm, making it no longer a separate division of the studio, similar to how the X-Men films are set up at 20th Century Fox, and unlike Marvel Studios at Disney. Variety reports that the overhaul of DC films is expected to happen in by January. The decision for restructuring comes after Justice League has brought just $572 million worldwide, making it the lowest-grossing film in the DCEU by almost $100 million. Troubles on Justice League first began as an early cut of the film by Zack Snyder was screened for studio executives, which we now know did feature his famous black suit for Superman, who were reportedly alarmed by its dark tone, which had been a major criticism of Man of Steel and BVS. WB reportedly doesn't consider Justice League a failure, however, as it successfully introduced audiences to Ezra Miller's The Flash and Jason Momoa's Aquaman, both of which have their own films in the works. The Aquaman solo film is set to arrive in theaters on December 21st, 2018, while The Flash movie will reportedly bring Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Ben Affleck's Batman back together for an adaption of the Flashpoint storyline. Affleck, however, is not expected to star in director Matt Reeves' upcoming Batman feature film, which will reportedly have all new talent.
Yeah, I mean, none of this surprised me. Let's just
wait to see what happens. Yeah. See if DC falls into disarray. Wait, can they fall into disarray if they're already the most dysfunctional company out there?
Probably not. They're already in disarray. They're trying to fix it now. Just let Jeff Johns and Brian Michael Bendis do their thing. First off, make sure that you guys get Brian Michael Bendis involved with the DCEU. There's no mistake about it. He's absurdly talented and needs to be involved. For the success of your film franchises. I mean, what else is there really to
see? DC just has far too much oversight and overreach on this. Right, I mean, not exactly. DC, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. They just try to control the movies too much and probably make it a lot worse than they need to be. But, you know, that paired with Josh Whedon, I think they could be headed in the right direction. Maybe restructures needed. I hope for the best, you know? So Zachary Levi says Shazam could surprise like Guardians of the Galaxy did. Speaking at Heroes and Villains Convention in San Jose, which we went to, Shazam himself, Zachary Levi, spoke about the upcoming film and teased that it could be that could surprise audiences like Marvel Studios' Guardians of the Galaxy did. He said James Gunn and the gang killed it. It brought so much heart and humor, and I think was kind of a dark horse that took everybody by storm, which I agree with. I think Shazam kind of has that possibility to do that because Shazam is not, for all intents and purposes, is not like Superman. It's not like Batman. It's not like Wonder Woman. If you look at most of Justice League montages or Justice League post, Shazam is not necessarily one of the characters you put on there, which is false. Except he is in the Justice League, okay? You're just stating facts. So if we do well enough, Levi also, I mean, I guess that's where he ended. What the hell?
Probably like if we do well enough, dot, 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 like, yeah, you know, I could be in Justice League.
Okay, anyways. Levi also teased some changes to the character for the film that are more in line with modern versions of Shazam than how he was first in the pages of Wiz Comics. Shazam gets to be fun. What's that word?
Jovial.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean, Christian?
It means like you're kind of like joyful in a way, but like very, very internally prideful. I don't know. I'd have to look up the actual definition, but all to right. me, it's like someone who's stoic a little bit.
That's an interesting word to use. All right, but anyways, Shazam gets to be fun, jovial, because he is Billy Batson. He's 13. It's a movie. It's the movie Big, but with superpowers, which I'm beyond stoked about. By the way, for those Shazam persuists out there, I know there are many of you out there. I understand the S is. His name stands for the Wisdom of Solomon, and that's a difficult thing to believe when you're playing the 13-year-old in who... What the fuck is this guy?
The 13-year-old in you.
Oh, the 13-year-old in you who's not as wise as Solomon. Levi joined by Andy Mack star Asher Angel as Billy Batson in the film along with Mark Strong from Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, and Sherlock Holmes as a villain, Dr. Savannah.
Yeah, jovial just means cheerful.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Yeah.
This guy just doesn't...
We didn't see him because he talked on Sunday, guys. We were there on Sunday. We were going to go Sunday, and then we're like, no, we need a podcast. We can't be in San Jose all day Sunday. Right. So, yeah, we did it for you.
Did it for you guys, damn it.
So,
I don't know what to make of that article. That guy doesn't sound very knowledgeable. I mean, yeah, he knew what the S stands
for. Anyway,
cool.
The essence is he thinks people will not have high expectations and it will be good, which people will have high expectations of Shazam. I do. And I think it's going to, like, people know Shazam. Guardians of the Galaxy. Who knows Guardians of the Galaxy? Even people who love comic books don't necessarily like Guardians of the Galaxy, to be fair. Like,
right.
When they said Guardians of the Galaxy, I said, oh, these assholes.
Right. I remember you actually had to talk me into going and seeing that movie. Like, I didn't even want to see it. I was like, dude, this... Like, the way they did their trailer in that movie was brilliant. I was like, I don't want to see this movie. This movie looks fucking retarded.
Oh, yeah. I was the same.
You know, but you're like, dude, let's just go watch it. And it turned out to be one of the greatest things ever.
Yeah, I saw it at the, like... premiere or whatever, like, and I was like, this movie's gonna be trash. I was shit talking to the whole time.
Let me tell you, Zachary Levi, that is how you set yourself up for failure. First off, yeah. Do not try to draw comparisons to such a great movie. Like,
yeah,
like, I mean, I know what he's trying to do, you know, draw the comparison DC versus Marvel, all that good stuff. That's, you know, whatever. It's neither here nor there.
At least
there.
He was complimentary of Marvel, unlike other people who get hired on, they're like, fuck Marvel,
but it's like. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
You should. That'd be like saying we're gonna make a rated R Deathstroke movie. That's it's gonna be like Deadpool. No.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Anyway. This is a long one, guys. Bear with me. The trailer and key art for new animated franchise Marvel Rising has been released. Marvel Entertainment announced Marvel Rising, a brand new multi-platform animation franchise starring the next generation of Marvel heroes, set to launch in 2018. The program will launch 6 4-minute digital shorts that spotlight Spider-Gwen with her new secret moniker Ghost Spider and introduce audiences to the world of Marvel Rising. Following the shorts, a feature-length animated film, Marvel Rising Secret Warriors, will premiere later that year. Distribution partners for the content will be announced at a later date. The content features an all-star lineup of voice talent, including Dove Cameron, Chloe Bennett, Tyler Posey, Boo Boo Stewart, Catherine Cavari, Milana Van Trub, Sierra Ramirez, Camille McFadden, Sky Jackson, Kim Raver, Ming-Na Wen, Steven Weber, and D. Bradley Baker, among others. See, I didn't give you this one because it has lots of names.
Nice. Thanks, bud.
You're welcome. Future stories and content are also being developed across Marvel's digital and publishing platforms and will be announced at a later date. Marvel Rising Secret Warriors is a long-anticipated event bringing together Marvel's newest and beloved characters that have garnered major fan excitement over the last few years. Powered teens Miss Marvel, Squirrel Girl, Quake, Patriot, American Chavez, and Inferno join forces as an unlikely but formidable crew of aspiring heroes when a threat no one could have expected bears down on the Marvel Universe. This ragtag, untrained band of teens have no choice but to rise up together and prove to the world that sometimes the difference between a hero and a misfit is just in the name. Marvel characters are so relatable because they live in our world and face the same challenges we do, so I'm very excited that our Marvel Rising team of heroes is so inclusive, reflecting characters with different backgrounds, particularly a set of strong female leads that our young audience can connect with, said Court Lane, Marvel's Senior Vice President of Animation and Family Entertainment. Sana Aminette, Marvel's Director of Content and Character Development in fucking weird names, added, "This project is unlike anything we've done before, from featuring the rising and fan-favorite stars of the Marvel Universe to a visually distinct animation style. This is a groundbreaking animated event. It's an action-packed adventure full of comedy, heart, and powerful messages for every kind of Marvel fan." So then they go into this whole thing about who's voicing who and who they are. I don't think you need me to tell you, except for that Dove Cameron is voicing Gwen Stacy. And she's also, we talked about in the news, going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year. Is she playing cool. Gwen Stacy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Maybe.
Do they have the rights to that?
Probably not.
What leads me to believe that that would not be the case is that Ming-Na Wen, who plays What's-Her-Face?
Mulan.
Agent May, yes, and voiced Mulan. She is going to be voicing Hala in this series and not Agent May. So, you know, that's a thing as well. We also get Lockjaw and Tippy Toe that are going to be in this, and they're going to be voiced by a person apparently. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things there. And if you're interested in the character list, go to superherohype.com and read the full article, and they will tell you everything about who these people are voicing and the character descriptions.
Alrighty then. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You know, new expansion on the MCU.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. Good stuff. You excited for it?
I am. Buzzing.
Buzzing. Like a bee.
Buzzing.
Buzzing. All right. Ryan Johnson says new Star Wars trilogy won't be the Old Republic. Rip for a moment of silence. I said moment of silence. Put your head down. Alright, we're done. Alright, almost exactly 1 month ago, it was confirmed that filmmaker Ryan Johnson was staying in Lucasfilm's family and would develop a brand new trilogy of Star Wars movies. It's revealed that the new Star Wars trilogy would revolve around a new character from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never before explored. And as a result, speculations has run wild about the project could be. Speaking with a Mashable, which I don't even know what that means. However, Johnson shot down one of the ideas fans have run wild with, an Old Republic trilogy. This is horseshit. Johnson said, "Oh, they love Knights of the Old Republic. I played that game when it came out and I was like, God, I loved it. Yeah, that's a fantastic game, and I understand it, and the instinct to automatically go to something that you know and love that you've already seen. To me, that's really fun, is the notion of what new stuff are we going to see? What new stories can we tell? Johnson is still in the early stages of development on the film and tells the outlet that he's still figuring out what's going to be. Within Star Wars lore, the Old Republic era came thousands of years before even Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, in a time when the world of the galaxies first came together. In addition, at the time, the Jedi Order was large enough for a block of events of the feature films. Countless comics and novels have been written about the era, but the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic video games are the most notable. No timetable has been given on when we can expect the new Star Wars trilogy, but Johnson will write and direct at least the first film in the series, and his longtime collaborator Ram Bergman set to produce that said film.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they say that the game is the most notable simply because people don't read anymore.
Right. The most notable, I mean, for me, fucking Darth Bane. Okay. To be fair, right? All right, I was totally against what he said, but I think maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that he's not talking about not exploring the Old Republic. He's just talking about the video game.
Yeah, they're not doing Knights of the Old Republic. He wants to do new stories. They don't say what time period, you know.
But to be fair, he does sit there and say stories, you know, a new story from the corners of the universe that have never been explored. And that does pertain to books, because obviously if a book has been written, it has been explored.
Right.
Maybe not on the big screen or, you know, on a TV series or an animated, you know, TV series or not. But it has been explored, or in a comic book, you know. Maybe it's just a whole new story.
Maybe.
New worlds.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong. That's what Rogue One is. That's what, you know, well, I mean, it takes place, you know, within, you know, a frame, of course, but you liked Rogue One. Don't look at me like that. He's looking at me, giving me looks of weirdness.
I thought you were going to say something else. Never mind. Let us know what you guys think. Do you guys want a brand new story outside of the Skywalker family and all their debauchery and stuff like that? Or do you, I mean, do you want the continuing story on them? Do you want something completely new? Do you guys want something in the Old Republic? Maybe, not even maybe the video game, but, you know, maybe some Darth Revan or some Darth Bane, you know, something from the perspective of the Sith, maybe, you know? I mean, we partially got that in the first three films with the development of Anakin Skywalker, and you see how he goes from good to bad, but you never just fully get the full grasp of the dark side. Right. And maybe it's time for that. Maybe this is the story that they're going to go with, of telling the tale of a bad guy and going into that. And it's always interesting reading stories of, you know, a tale of a bad person or whatever. Because, you know, I think those are some of the most creative writers out there, right?
Right.
Because they're able to do something interesting and get you to like an unlikable person. Somebody that does bad things and they make you like them.
Right.
And I find that so fascinating that they're able to do that. And I would love for them to do that.
Yeah, or even if you don't like them, you connect with them because of their innate vulnerabilities or something.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and to be fair, Darth Bane is not strictly Knights of the Old Republic. It's like an Old Republic story, but has nothing to do with Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So, you know, that's still, you know, maybe a possibility.
Possibility.
You know.
How great, dude. That story, if you, man, I'm telling you guys, if you guys would ever pick up any Star Wars book, I mean, that's the only one I've ever read.
We bang on about it all the time. But.
Dude, that story is so phenomenal. And I've only even read the first story. I you know, from what Christian tells me, the other ones are very good as well. But I'm telling you, it's so worth the read. So worth the read. And gives you this whole different insight into, you know, the dynamic of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
If
you're looking for things outside of
the canon,
the Skywalkers, kind of stories, like, because they have some phenomenal tales about Han and Leia's kids, Jason and Jaina, and, you know, like the Yuuzhan Vong Wars and stuff, and Luke kind of becoming kind of almost evil at some point, and Mara Jade and all that stuff. If you're looking for something outside of the Skywalkers and looking for maybe Old Republic type things that you can connect with, read Darth Bane. It's amazing. Just read
or,
it.
Or I heard the Darth Raven series was also good.
Yeah, there's only one book in it, and it doesn't, you know, it's not like, it doesn't capture his fall to the dark side and then him coming back to the light and stuff. It starts after he came back to the light after he was a Sith. So, you know, just be aware of that. So, yeah.
Anywho, that's all the news that we have for you guys this week. Hope you guys, you know, enjoyed it. And if you guys stuck with us, we thank you very much. And we would kindly ask you to please rate our podcast on iTunes or wherever you found it. And please leave us a review. You know, feedback is always good for us and, you know, helps other people find us as well. Share us with your friends and family on your social medias or, you know, just tell them about us. Make sure you guys go check out our other podcasts and make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. We also have an awesome website designed by Christian himself, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Go check it out. Check out all the features. It's awesome. But I think without further ado, that's all that we have for you guys this week on Nerdy Boys Reviews. Stay tuned for the Star Wars podcast next week. It's coming. We are your host. I am Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy, boys.